You said that this year you're just going to be full. And how many of you do devotions every day? Do you know you can actually live out of devotion? You can live out of, and that's the way that God wants you to live. When it's talking about walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, what that living in the Spirit basically is, it's living out of your devotion. So I say, I'm going to live, if you're not already, out of my devotion. And it's just neat how you can live that way. You read the Word and then you find a way that day. You don't have to read a lot of it, but just enough. You can find something to apply to your life and something that will work with you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Well, one of the things as we were reading the Word, if you would just listen, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs will tell you what to do. Every once in a while, if you're stupid and you don't know what to do, it'll make you smart. Always do the right thing. I mean, you don't have to have some big spirit of discernment or anything. I mean, you just read the book of Proverbs. I tell you what, you're going to be successful and you're going to do the right thing. And one of the ways that you can read the book of Proverbs is just do one chapter a day. Just one chapter a day of the book of Proverbs. Like today is at 10. And you could have picked up the book of Proverbs and just gone to chapter 10 and read chapter 10 of Proverbs. You will find that certain things that God speaks to you are the things you're going to have to live off of. How many are living off of money? How many are living off of money? I'm going to let you know straight up, don't put your confidence in money. But how many are learning to live off of the Word? I tell you what, when money ran out, I had to live off the Word. And you know the Word will support you. The Word will sustain you every time. Well, this is a very powerful word that everybody needs to get into their spirit. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24, this is something that you need to learn. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon them. Your fear will come to you. It says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon them, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Isn't that good? I read that this morning and I just kind of got excited, because when you put it this way, it says you can either have your fears or your desires. You get a choice between your desire and your fear. What is the difference between a desire and a fear? A desire is like the thing you're believing God to do, the thing that you have faith in, right? It's what you're meditating on in your heart. The meditation of my heart demands manifestation. Did you know that? Do you know that your heart is like the candle of the Lord? It literally says what's going to be. And what you got on the inside of your heart, and what you meditate on and what you think about, guess what? That is what's going to be in manifestation in your life. It says that the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon them. But the desire of the righteous. How many got a deep desire down in your heart? It shall be granted. I'm going to change all my fears to godly desires. Say, I will not fear. Say it one more time. I will not fear. I tell you what, the devil had a plan for us. Boy, did he have a plan for us. And he would have done it. He would have accomplished his plan if we would have believed it. If we would have gotten into fear, there was one of the things that I said, listen, this is one thing I refuse to do. I refuse to fear. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. There's no use to walking in faith and claiming a bunch of faith scriptures when you got fear in your heart. I don't care how rough the battle gets. I don't care how bad the situation is. I don't care how late you are. I don't care what it is. You got to say within yourself, I am not allowed to fear. then God will jump on it. Does that say you don't care? No, it says you care enough to get something done about it. I mean, when you've learned to walk with God, say, I got to get something done with this. I got to change my actions. And one of the things that I have learned and God has taught me in my spirit and is teaching me right now is to repent. That means change my thinking. And the way that I think about things and the way I go. And one of the things that I just completely took out of my computer, and I'm not going to let it go back. I'm going to develop myself even more. You know, it's God that will do that with you. God will allow certain situations to come in your life and different things to come in there and to develop you. Things that you can't learn. I said, hey, listen, I've learned some things that I wouldn't trade for anything this past year. God wants us to experience our faith. And what I've learned, that the thing that I've learned, and truly from experience, that the thing that I refuse to fear in gets settled more efficiently, quicker, when I don't become afraid of that thing. That doesn't mean you just act stupid when stuff is going down. That means you meditate, but you meditate on the Word of God and you start to confess. You can either worry yourself to death or confess God's best. And one of the things that stuck out to me is, says, listen, the fear of the wicked shall overtake them. Now, I don't know whether you're hearing me tonight. I don't know whether you can pick it up, but I'm going to tell you, no matter what you're facing, refuse to become afraid. I don't care how rough it is. I don't care what the devil's trying to tell you. You can get challenged in your faith. You know, sometimes you've got all the faith in the world and you feel like you can take down anything. And then one at a time you think, my God, if I could just stay alive. I mean, you don't feel like the big faith giant all the time. I'm talking about when you don't feel like the big faith man, when you don't want to take the world. Well, what do you do when you say, if I could just take some of those days when you feel that I should just take my shirt with you? How many of you are always up? Always up, and you're always just full of faith in a wonderful confession. If you shake your head, yeah, I'm going to call you up here and cast that lying devil out of you in Jesus' name. Well, you go through times when you're challenged, you say, well, I don't know about all this stuff. What do you do? What do you do? You've got to change yourself and get to the point and say, listen, I'm just facing something right now, and the thing that I need to deal with right now, I need to put all of my faith in just not to be afraid. And God will teach you how not to become afraid. Because you'll get through that circumstance, you'll walk through that cloud, you'll walk through that dark day. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night. Do you know that? But joy comes in the morning. So what do you do while you're waiting for joy in the morning? What do you do when you're waiting for joy in the morning? How do you handle it? Somebody say, I'm one of those that are waiting for joy in the morning. That's not saying that everything's bad. Some of you got some situations that you're in the prayer time, you know. The sun's not shining on it yet. You're believing for your relatives. You're believing for certain things to manifest that God has spoken. And the sun has not come up. That day has not come yet. How many of you got some good days ahead that has not showed up yet? Well, what do you do? What do you do in those times? How do you handle those times? You know what you got to do in the nighttime? Say, I will not be afraid of the dark. I will not be afraid of the dark. Say it again. One of the things when you don't have Jesus, when you don't have Jesus in your life and no one's taught you the way of faith, and you were held captive to whatever the world threw your way, whatever society threw your way, whatever genetics threw your way, whatever your background threw your way, whatever your income bracket threw your way, you were stuck in certain circumstances, weren't you? And at times, stuff would happen, and you could see it coming down the road. Has anybody had some stuff say, hey, I've been here before. I know exactly what's going to happen. And you've seen more bad days than good days before you knew Jesus. So every change meant a change that you were going to have to, something bad was happening. Maybe some of you have had everything go sunshine for you. But some people have had some trials in their lives, some tribulations in their life. Some of you have had instabilities in your life to where the world just didn't deal to you the best hand you thought you could have. And everything that came your way, hey, if it was a bunch of junk, it was yours. And if you were just making it for a moment, thank God. But don't rock the boat. And then those people that grow up like that, they become afraid of change. They get afraid of the unseen. Afraid of the unseen. Afraid of things that they don't know about. Afraid of tomorrow. I got money today, but who knows might happen tomorrow. That's when those times when people, those are the kind of people that cry and weep in the night. People that are afraid of the dark. What do you mean I'm not afraid of the dark? Yeah, there are a lot of people that are afraid. They're afraid of situations that they can't see through with their own natural eye. I'm not in the dark. by myself. My faith can see through the darkness. I know it's coming in the morning. Is this helping anybody tonight? Weeping may endure for a night, but I tell you what, joy comes in the morning. And I tell you what's going to show up in the morning is what you're meditating on the inside of your heart. The devil's a liar. God is exalted. That thing that you're believing for, that thing that you're fearing, is what's going to come upon you. Job even said, the thing that I feared the most has come upon me. How did he get it? He believed for it. He was so afraid of it, it just had to happen. Do you know that fear and faith are exactly the same thing? Fear is nothing but perverted faith, and it'll work for you. It'll work against you every time. And there are a lot of people that are in the gutter, that are in a rut right now, solely because of their fears. The hidden fears of our heart. And I want to ask you today, what are you working on the inside of your heart? Are you working on fears? Or are you working on faith? So somebody, I'm working on faith. If you hadn't opened your Bible and read the Word of God, I'd tell you what, you're not on faith. You're moving on fear. Or you're moving on presumption. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Say, so I will not fear. I will believe God that He will do exactly what He said He's going to do. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know when. All I know is He's going to do it. Amen. And I'm going to make it through the night. God's looking for some people that will not become afraid. Some people that will develop themselves in the night seasons. And by the time the sun comes up, there's going to be a new look on my face. Amen. There's going to be a confidence on the inside of me. Don't wait to change in the morning. Change in the night. Don't wait until your breakthrough comes for you to develop yourself. Develop yourself in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your temptation. Whatever it is, that's the time when you've got to remain faithful and remain strong. How are you going to learn about fear unless you're challenged to become afraid? You can say a whole lot of stuff until it's in your face. It's easy to say you won't be afraid when you're not challenged in that area. I have no fear. You have no challenge. I mean, you go through something. Then you start to talk about fear and faith and confidence. You got to get out of the boat and start to walk a little bit before you find out what kind of faith you got. I mean, people say, I ain't afraid of nothing because you're stuck up under a rock. You ever met people like that? Ever met people like that? How many of you are facing some stuff? I know some of your situations. I don't know what's going to come in the morning. I don't know how this house situation is going to work out. I don't know how this job situation is going to turn around. I don't know whether I'm going to get this money. I don't know whether I'm going to get that. Your fear will tell you that, but faith says God is going to make a way. Amen. God is going to make a way. And while I'm waiting for Him to show up in the mornings, while I'm waiting for my deliverance to come, see your faith. See, you got your faith is should already be taken care of. And while you're waiting for your faith to manifest, you got to say, "I'm going to rest in fearlessness." Amen. Say, "I'm going to be taken care of. I'm going to be provided for. I'm going to be blessed." While I'm waiting for the manifestation of the thing I'm believing for, not only will I not let the devil steal my victory or steal my manifestation, but I'm not going to let him steal my waiting period. I'm going to learn about His faithfulness. He's faithful in the night. He's faithful in the morning. He's faithful when I can see with my natural eyes. And He's faithful even when I don't understand. God is God. He was good today, and He'll be good tomorrow. Amen. I mean, He was wonderful today, and He's not going to be any less good today. He is not any less good today than He will be if I had $1 million in my pocket.
Amen.
Every one of my needs have been supplied. Boy, am I blessed, and I can bless somebody right now. You got to think of where you are right now. See, many people refuse to see the blessing and the situation and where they are at that moment and their potential in the moment. And if you would realize that you learn this faith walk, God will tell you in every circumstance, you're not in trouble. You got exactly what you need to make it today. Not only do you have exactly what you need to make it today, you got exactly what you need to make it today and help somebody else along the way. Faith will cause you to believe God for a better day tomorrow and not doubt in your heart. But fearlessness will cause you to live while you're waiting for your manifestation. So you can make that confession right now. You can make that confession right now. I mean, the devil will lie to you and think, hey, you don't even have enough to live today. You need to stay in the bed. How many of you got those kind of lifestyle when you walk out the door, it costs you something? I mean, every day costs you. Every day you go on, the devil starts to say, you can't afford to live today. You better stop right now. But fearlessness says that I can make it. I can make it. And if I can make it for the moment, I can make it for the hour. And if I can make it for the hour, I can make it for the day. And if I can make it for the day, I can make it for the week. And if I can make it for the week, I can make it for the month. And if I can make it for the month, I can make it for the year. If I can make it for the year, I'll make it for the decade. If I can make it for the decade, I'll make it throughout all of my human born life. And if I can make it throughout my human born life, I'll make it throughout all eternity. Don't talk about fearlessness when you're talking about tomorrow. Fearlessness has to do with right now. What am I going to say about your circumstance that you're dealing with? So I said, well, talk to me about faith. Well, you got the faith for it. You know God's going to do it. You've had the word of God preached that you believe. You believe. I'm not going to, you know, nobody has to challenge you in your faith and tell you those other things. You've heard the word of God. You've heard the promise. You believe it. All I'm going to tell you to do is don't be afraid while you're waiting for the manifestation of it. And the devil will try to sell you something else while you got your blessing. Try to knock you down. You got a promise that's not come. Then fear will come and say, you'll always be by yourself. You'll always be broke. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose that. You're going to lose everything. You will if you listen to it. If you give heed to it, you will. You put your confidence in it. That's exactly what will happen. But you got to hold your ground and refuse to give up. Faith will give you your future, but fearlessness will give you your today. See, that's where a lot of people give up. They got great faith, but they can't seem to make it through the day with this great faith. Yeah, you got faith that you believe something wonderful is going to happen tomorrow, but it's today that you're willing. Well, listen, yeah, you believe that tomorrow can come, but you know there's a time frame on it. The Bible says faith is substance for things not seen. Actually, fear is the illusion. Didn't say fear was the substance of things that could be. Fear is not substance. The thing that you fear is not there. But your faith is. Why is faith substance and fear not substance? Because the devil cannot guarantee anything he says because he's a liar. But God can. God is not moved by fear. God is moved by faith. The devil needs your cooperation to get his job accomplished. Write that down. Fear is false evidence. And it's not even evidence. False evidence appearing real. Now, what is substance? What is real? Faith. I mean, you got to learn to disbelieve your fears, but believe your promises. There are a lot of people that are stuck. There are a lot of people that are stuck today, stuck every moment because they're working these promises that are giving them fruit. Where your faith gives you joy, your fears give you pains and sorrows and depression. You know there's joy in believing and sorrow in fearing. You ever wonder why you're sad? Could it be that you got fear in your life? As faith brings you joy, fear will bring you sorrow. Romans chapter 5 verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into what? Into grace. So we have access into God's grace by faith. Where do you get all your needs supplied? By the grace of God. You want to get your needs supplied? You can only get into grace by faith. Well, if you got access to grace by faith, what will get you out of grace? Fear. What will put you out? Fear. You want to get out of the grace of God? Get into fear. Because fear tells God, you can't do anything and you can't provide for me. You're going to let the devil get me. You can't live in the house of God's grace with fear. You get access to grace by faith, but you get shown the door when you decide to live in fear. Why doesn't anything good happen to me ever? Because you constantly dwell in fear and not in the grace of God. It said, into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in what? And rejoice in what?
as you're standing in this grace of God by faith, you're going to be able to rejoice in what? Hope. See, some of you don't get excited when you hear about hope because you don't got any. I'm hoping and I'm believing God, amen. I'm standing in faith. I'm standing fearlessly in faith, not giving up my hope.
Amen.
Well, what is that hope? That hope is your earnest expectation. The devil's trying to distract you with these fears so he can take away your hope. Your expectation of what you're believing him to do. That's what he's after. He knows he can't defeat you. He's after your future. But he can't get your future if he doesn't get your today. I will rejoice in hope as I keep myself in faith by refusing to fear. The devil doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He only knows that he's lost. He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He only knows that he's lost. And he did lose. And not only that, I refuse to be made ashamed. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That thing, how many got hope out there and you're afraid to grab a hold of your promise because you don't want to be embarrassed if it doesn't happen? I'm here to tell you, hope doesn't make you ashamed. Stick your neck out there a little bit. The devil tries a lot to say, you're just going to be real embarrassed. You better keep your mouth shut and play it safe. You better keep your mouth shut and play it safe, because you're just going to make a fool of yourself. The Bible says hope or expectation won't make you ashamed. I'm out there. Some of y'all are out there. Way out there. But hope and expectation won't make you ashamed. What will bring shame to you? What will bring shame if hope makes you not ashamed? No expectation is a shame. That's a disgrace. People that don't expect God to do anything, I tell you what, when you know who God is and all that God has and all the promises that they have in Scripture, and they don't take a hold of those things, I'm going to tell you what, that is a shame. When Jesus comes, you don't want to be ashamed. Don't worry about what people say about you when you're standing out there believing God and trusting God and walking in faith with almost no evidence whatsoever, like Noah had to do. Realize that hope maketh not ashamed, that an expectation that God will perform that thing which he said he would do. That in and of itself, say, it's not going to make me ashamed. And you got to speak to your hope. You got to get that confidence inside your spirit. When the devil comes to you, say, hey, it's not going to happen, it's not going to come about, you say, hope maketh not ashamed in Jesus' name. I mean, I know somebody that was believing God for a child. Couldn't have one. Told their family. And they were almost ridiculed and said, that can't happen. You just need to give it up. You just need to hang it up. That's not going to happen. And they kept confessing anyhow, looking foolish. And I'm sure it looked like a shame. But hope made not ashamed, because it came. Hope makes not ashamed. I remember I worked in the Salvation Army in Washington, D.C. And I'd heard some faith teaching. They heard the opposite teaching. I heard about faith, that God is a God that wants to bless you, prosper you, and do you good. They'd heard the other stuff. He wants to take everything from you, and then you really be blessed. After he gets all your food from you, takes everything from you, he'll show up. And I told my coworkers, I said, I'm believing God for a Mercedes-Benz. Hallelujah. This is my first one. I'm believing God for my Mercedes-Benz. And I just kept talking. They said, he just listens to those people on the TV. That's okay. He's crazy. Just, you know. I would just keep confessing. He ain't got the money for that right now. But I'm believing God for that car. Amen. And I kept confessing those things. And confessing it, almost to where it was almost an embarrassment. Everybody says, that's a shame. That's a shame. Then it got to the point to where people were tired of driving me around as I was believing for my Mercedes-Benz. So I had to break down. I didn't realize that I had forgot about my confession. And somebody was selling one of those little American cars. I think it was a little, I don't know, Caprice something. Something American. All I knew is it made noise. You know how they make those, one of those cars there, and I could afford that and pay it out. And I was so excited to buy that car. I was going to knock that car out like that with no debt, and I was just thanking God that I was just going to pay cash for this car, and I don't have a car, and I'm going to take it in, and I was just rejoicing.
So I went in to tell one of my coworkers in her office. I said, I'm going to get pay for this car straight out. And then she turned around and looked at me and said, I thought you said you were going to get a Mercedes. But I thought you said you were going to get a Mercedes. Well, you know what I said? I said, I will. I said, I'm going to go buy the donuts. So I went down the road, and lo and behold, on the way down there, I saw this beautiful green Mercedes Benz. I bought that sucker and drove it back. I said, I got my Mercedes in Jesus' name. And that thing ran and gave it to somebody else when I went off to Bible school. Hope makes not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. And at times you hear people that say, you might, those people that are ridiculing you and trying to make you feel ashamed, they might be your biggest blessing. Reminding you that your hope is not there to make you ashamed. God will come through. God will come through. Not because I'm so great, not because you're so great, not because we can hustle, not because we can work, because hope makes not ashamed. It's on basis that I expect him to do something, and he's going to do it because that's what his word says. Somebody say, I've got a hope. Say, I've got a hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of what? Now the God of what? If you don't got a hope, you don't know your God. If you don't have an expectation, you don't know God. If you don't got an expectation, you don't have a promise, you haven't been in the Word. You haven't been listening to the Spirit of the Word. You've been playing games. Because the Bible not only says that God will give you hope, but it calls him the God of hopes. Why are you always expecting him to do something? Because he is the God of hope. And I want you to expect something big this year. I want you to expect something grand this year. I don't care what last year looked like. You know the God of hope, and he's here tonight to give you hope, to give you a hope for the future, to give you a promise, to give you something to hold on into. But God will give you peace when he gives you hope. Now, it says this, now the God of hope fill you with all what?
Joy.
And what?
Peace.
And fill you with what?
Joy.
And what?
Peace.
In what? In believing. Now, the God of hope is going to do two things for you. Not only does he need to fill you with hope, that expectation by itself, you got to cover that expectation and preserve that expectation in joy and peace. Anybody been afraid and just glad about it?
Amen.
Anybody had a dog coming at you? You just look at the dog, you're just laughing. Dog, I mean, you know, big old dog, you just laughing. You ever see anybody like that? You know, or you see a big old rabid dog coming at you, you just lay down peacefully. Huh? That's a crazy person. Basically, it's talking about you have hope and peace. You have joy and peace when you refuse to be afraid about it. Just laugh at the devil. Preserve your peace. Preserve your hope by laughing at the devil no matter what, and refuse to be afraid. Don't you know that people will naturally laugh when they're afraid because it will relieve some of that pressure. It does something to you. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there is a promise out there for some people that God does not want you to let go of. He wants you to hold on to it. He wants you to hold on to your expectation. He will come through. Glory to God. He has not let you down. The game is not over. The fat lady has not sung. Glory to God. Actually, she's losing weight. God will do that thing that he said he would do. But while he wants you to do in the meantime, he wants you to hold your hope, and he wants you to continue to believe, and you can only do that with supernatural Holy Ghost joy.
Amen.
And peace that passes all understanding. Somebody say, laugh until you got, or until you get supernatural peace. In believing that ye may abound in what? In your expectation. That ye may abound in your expectation. I tell you what, I know where I'm going to abound. I expect to abound in those things that I'm believing God to do. I can understand today, but in my expectation, I'm abounding. I expect to abound. I can handle today. Today's a lot better than yesterday. See, many people get all frustrated. I tell you what, you know, you may not be what you should be. May not be what you could be. May not have what you could have. But thank God, you're not what you were yesterday. You don't got half the stuff the devil gave you yesterday either. And you got rid of some of that junk. You got rid of some of that garbage. You're on your way to a better day. God is moving in your life. Sit up there and act like you had it going when you were in the world with the devil. No, you weren't. You were losing and you know it.
Today's one of the better days of your life. And it don't get much better. What you going to go back into the pit for, like you jumped out of the royal palace someplace, hooked on this and hooked on that, and all of a sudden things don't go right, you go blaming God for pulling. Well, go on back down in the hole where you came from. Bible says, up out of the muck and miry clay, he lifted me. I've never seen anybody step out of the palace to follow Jesus. You step up when you go God's way. God will always do you better than what you can do yourself. Don't even play that game. And most people know that. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You're not going to be able to have joy and peace unless you're believing. So you live to believe God, live to live in peace, live in joy as you're believing, that you may be abound in hope. Through what? Through what? How does all this work? Somebody say, through what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. God's given you a promise. That promise, that word that you have, it is from God. And God is fully able to help that thing come to fruition. It says, listen, by the power of the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to say, my expectation will only come by the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, Paul said it in one scripture. He said that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. That thing you're believing for, it's not going to be able to stand up under trial. It's not going to be able to stand up under temptation. It's not going to be stand up through the test of time unless it's sustained by the power of the Holy Ghost. Faith stands by the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. You're going to get what you're believing for. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Somebody say, repent. God wants your life to turn around this year. See, you've repented in your mindset. Now God wants your life to repent. He wants the things around you to turn around. There are some things that are set in motion. The devil's got some plans for your life that are already set in motion. Now the Lord's going to rebuke those things and tell them to turn around. You can talk to you tomorrow and say, turn around on that bad day. Turn around and go back where you came from and send me another one. You can turn that around. That day will not come. That day will not come in Jesus' name. This is how you turn a bad day around. This is how you turn a bad day around. This is how you turn a bad situation around. This is how you turn a bad future around. This is how you turn a bad fate around. Somebody say, turn it around. I've seen a lot of things coming that God turned around. I've seen days coming, my Lord. And all of a sudden, they were right in front of your face. They turn around and walk the other way. Somebody say, turn around. Now here it is. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know. See, don't claim this unless you know. See, this is from the renewed mind. It says, I know that this shall turn.
I know this.
I want you to think about that thing you're dealing with right now. Think about those cases. Think about those papers. Think about that home situation. Think about the children. Think about it and say, I know. And get them right in front of your face. This shall turn.
This shall turn.
It says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Prayer changes some things. Glory to God. Prayer changes some things. And some of you got some situations you need to give over to somebody else. You've been praying too long for it. You need to hand that burden over to somebody else. Switch up. I mean, you're about to play tag team on the devil. You ever seen it? Now, say, listen, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ? That means the Holy Ghost. That means your prayer and the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, we're about to turn this thing around. With Rita's prayer and the power of the Holy Ghost, that thing I'm dealing with is taken care of. Look at somebody. Point at somebody in their face and you mean it by the Holy Ghost. Find her and say, this is going to turn around. My situation is going to turn around. By your prayers. Okay, now listen. Now listen, you got to read verse 20. You got to read verse 20. It says, according. See, don't have nobody praying for you if you don't got an expectation. See, that's the problem. A lot of people praying for people don't have any expectation. People get mad at me. They say, will you pray for me, Brother Rod? I said, for what? They said, well, I don't know what you want to pray for. I said, I ain't going to pray. Because you're going to get exactly what you're believing for. Brother Hagin asked a woman, he said, listen,
woman came up and said, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray for me. And she said, what do you want me to pray for? The woman said, particularly nothing. He said, that's exactly what you'll get, particularly nothing.
Don't apply yourself to people. Don't apply your faith with somebody that, doesn't have any, doesn't got an expectation. Don't even waste your prayer.
Find somebody that's got that know what they're believing for. Then start to believe on them and start to pray for that. It said, according to my earnest expectation and my what? Hope. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing. Everybody read that. Somebody say, that in nothing. I shall be ashamed. But quite the opposite. But that with all boldness. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to shut up and hide. He wants you to hide your face. He wants you to hide your face. No, you better not hide your face. You better stick your face out there. Don't be ashamed of what you're dealing with. Don't be ashamed of that circumstance. Show your face up. God's about to do something. As always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether if by life or by death. Say, my situation is turned.